OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
I'm delighted to say Anna McGinley is with us to talk about, not Cork, we're going to talk about what's going on in Ulster and a little bit about what's going to happen in Connacht as well. Anna, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning, Ger. Yeah, good.
I mean, if you want to talk about Cork and Kerry briefly, I would certainly give you the forum to do so, just to twist the knife on our poor Kerry colleague here. But if you don't want to, that's fine too.
No, it's hard. Well, look, I'm from Tyrone, so we're glass houses and throwing stones, but you shouldn't miss a chance to lose a game like that. It would be disappointing to lose a game that you were absolutely supposed to win and be the team that's supposed to take down Dublin. The one thing is, I think I'm actually disappointed because, again, you're looking for teams to try to take down Dublin realistically, and one of them sort of bit the dust at the weekend, so it's sort of a double-edged sword for me, to be fair.
It is. It's like one of those World Cup tournaments where there's a mass of shocks in the quarterfinals, and then suddenly the semi-finals are rubbish and the final is rubbish because all the good teams got knocked out, or all the teams who had a chance of actually winning it get knocked out. And we're a little bit concerned, actually talking about this a little bit earlier on. Armagh could do Donegal this weekend, but we don't think Armagh are quite at the level yet where they could do Dublin. Yeah. But we do feel like Donegal could give Dublin the game. That's the weird scenario we were in.
Absolutely, that's the killer. In the knockout championship, of course, it brings great excitement. But then when you realise, oh crap, that team's gone and all them forwards is gone. And it's sort of like Tyrone, whenever Tyrone go out, and Tyrone don't exactly have too many fans across the country either. But again, the chance to see the likes of McKenna and Canavan maybe on a better pitch down in Croke Park with Tyrone going a bit better, that would have been nice to see. The chance to see that Kerry team play it at full stretch in a big match in Croke Park, lovely to see. So it is a real double-edged sword. The romanticism of the straight knockout definitely has costs in terms of the teams that you want to see at the business end and the entertainment that offers up whenever you see really, really top teams. So shocks are brilliant. They certainly add to the excitement, but it does detract, I think, a wee bit from the overall quality. And unfortunately, there's a blue juggernaut that just has another obstacle removed from its path.
So just before we get into the actual games this weekend, to tease that point out, there has been some talk saying, oh, straight knockout is great, everybody loves it, it's fantastic, let's bring it back. I'm like, no, let's not bring it back, let's not have that conversation. We've been there before, and actually the championship was nowhere near as good as it has been over the last two decades when we've had backdoors and amazing games because teams came through backdoors.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's the big team, so in another year, you'd still be absolutely expecting Kerry to come back and make the Ireland semi-final, the Ireland final, and set up huge games because you know they'll still be right back up to pace. So I've heard other suggestions about maybe doing away with the National League and having a sort of provincial championship and then having a sort of a open draw or a Champions League style 32 where the top teams are seeded. But again, that removes the big clashes until maybe just a few games a year. So we know through the National League and we know from championship in previous years that the best football is whenever the best teams play against each other. Not just that, whenever teams at equal level play against each other, you can have great games throughout. But I think there's been lots of lessons in 2020. It's been a harsh year of learning right across the board, thanks to COVID and everything else. But there's been a lot of lessons learned from the viability of a split season to now just that maybe the old thing we hankered for maybe just wasn't as good as what our memories would tell us. And maybe that also says for the old style of football in the 70s and 80s, maybe if it was played today, we'd all be looking and saying that's a horrible game too. So look, I think we've learned plenty this year, but certainly seeing the likes of Kerry and Tyrone going so early from the championship, I'm not exactly sure it's a brilliant thing.
No, I would definitely agree with that. What about Donegal Armagh this weekend then? Donegal are expected to come through, but this Armagh team, I actually, looking at their first round, like I'd say Kieran McGainey was having conniptions in the build-up to that because his record in first round championship matches, both with Kildare and with Armagh, is not great. And so finally it's like, okay, breathe. And suddenly they're up and running. And once he gets a team up and running, his teams have traditionally been very good.
That's yes, to an extent, because last year was the year that he eventually broke his championship duct and he got over down in the first round, I think it was, and then they ran in and got turned over by Cavan in the semi-final, which was a big surprise and very much punctured what was really a sense of Armagh coming good, having eventually got over that championship hurdle. So this year, having got over Derry, they were fairly muted in their celebrations. It was certainly tense. Derry was a banana skin. They are probably more of a Division 2 side than maybe a Division 3 side. So they do have decent quality. But they came through it. They showed a pretty defensive style, to be honest. And I think they're going to need that for Donegal. Donegal are certainly the bigger, better team. Like, Kieran McGeaney came out with a great quote whenever he secured promotion. He said, well, you have to be careful what you wish for because we're now up with the big boys. And he name-checked Galway, Dublin and Kerry. He refused to name the Ulster counties as one of the big boys. So I think that says part of the mindset. They're now up against Donegal, and Armagh will feel, look, they are a match for Donegal. Donegal on paper are stronger. Armagh have huge talent in the forward line, but Donegal tend to be can pose them big questions, and you can't rule off or rule out upset.
Do you think that they do need to be careful what they wish for then, or do you think that this Armagh team have the tools at their disposal and to actually dine at the top table and not become, with all due respect, a Roscommon or a Cavan who get promoted as much as they get relegated over a period of 5 to 10 years?
I think they've more than earned their chance. Some teams come up with sort of a meteoric rise where they go 3-2-1 very quickly and they're just not ready. Armagh, because of sometimes their own ability to gift the opposition chances and goals and whatnot, they have took two chances to get out of three when really they should have been out in one. They've took a couple of chances to get out of two when really they could have been out of it in one. So they've took maybe more years in development to get to one. With that, I think they're more than ready for their time to mix it with, as McGeaney calls, the big boys. That being said, I think there is a top seven within Ireland at the minute, or certainly a top, and the mathematics of it means there's always one of the big seven that drop down to two. The likes of Mayo's away this year because of that just mathematical thing. Trone have been down, Donegal have been down, but yet all of them we would still consider as that sort of top six or seven teams. So Armagh will now be coming up, but they will be struggling to be there. Now Roscommon made a massive go of it the first year up, but then they sort of failed away. I think Armagh are certainly capable of mixing it, but I do think they're a wee bit below the consistency of the big teams. Ironically, it's getting these championship victories under their belts that they need to do to keep progressing. But they certainly are showing signs. Their performance against Derry, to me, showed a more resolute, solid, mature side, which is what you're expecting after all these years. And if they keep on that course, they certainly have talent up front to mix it with the top teams. It's just their overall status of a team still seems to be that they gift other teams chances, and even Derry had their chances against them too in the first round.
And do you think they're going some way to addressing that they are finding that defensive solidity? Because it does seem that that's the first step always, and sometimes it can be a little bit too defensive a la Donegal in 2011, but making the breakthrough eventually comes on the back of a strong defensive year.
Yeah, so I was at Celtic Park for the Derry Armagh match, and Armagh sat very compact in the first half. Really, really difficult for Derry to break down, and they looked very comfortable at that. They knew what they were at, and they were still able to break out at pace because of the quality of men up front. It sort of suits them, that style. I would expect, given Donegal's talents up front, like Derry realistically had sort of two really good forwards that Donegal had to negate, or that Armagh had to negate. Donegal have Jamie Brennan, Niall O'Donnell, Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson, Paddy McBrady, if he plays, of course, a certain Michael Murphy. So they have a huge depth of talent that is much more difficult to watch. So that's going to challenge Armagh more. I think they will end up compact. But, of course, Donegal have them long-range shooters, probably more so than any other team. And so that's another tick to sort of Donegal's box. Across midfield, Armagh are decent, but Donegal are exceptionally strong. Like it's the land of giants up there for them across that middle third. So again, that's another tick in Donegal's box. The irony is Donegal, there would be question marks over their defence. They're a team that obviously made their name from the blanket defence type approach. But man against man, I think they're a wee bit weaker than they have been for a number of years. And because they have so much talent in their forwards, forwards still want to be forwards, and so they don't have sort of an absolute blanket defence ethos going on. So with that, Donegal is slightly weaker in defence maybe than they have been, and they're coming up against one of the best forward attacking or forward strength teams that there is about at the minute with Armagh, with the likes of Grugan, Clark, the O'Neills, Stephen Campbell, even Forker from centre half back, but there's major attacking talent in that Armagh side, and they too will get a chance.
Are you expecting a relatively high-scoring and exciting game, notwithstanding the fact that this is the bleak midwinter here and this is an Ulster Championship match?
Yeah, it's bleak midwinter. Like, one of the things I was thinking, funny, you have to really credit the provincial club championships. They really were impressive, the level of football they were turned out at this same time of year. This could be a decent scoring game. I think it'll be maybe a better game. The last week's two games up here and also were pretty poor affairs, and even the one down in Parky Kyve wasn't exactly a high scoring affair too, but I think this has a better chance of breaking out into a real good quality game of football. There is some serious footballers on that pitch on a Sunday, so I would be very hopeful of a good game. But of course, like, it's the wind and rain is pounding and howling out here today when I woke up, like, so you have to caveat everything with that.
Are Donegal the second best team in the country at the moment?
Oh, big shout. Yeah, arguably they are. You're looking, obviously, at Mayo and Galway as a player, or maybe a wee touch unproven. They certainly have shown lots of exciting potential, and you'd be excited by what's going on over there, but they haven't rattled into that top four or Ireland sort of final place yet. And so that top end experience is still a question mark, but all you do with a question mark is you answer the question and then it goes away. Mayo obviously have been there, done that, bought many T-shirts, but not the winner's one. We know what they're capable of. They seem to be on a rich vein of form, but they're going to kick, you know, that's going to be a titanic battle out west. Whoever's left standing on that would arguably have a relatively straight path to the All-Ireland final. And so, yes, they're going to be major contenders. But of them three teams, I'd fancy Donegal as the most likely to take down Dublin, which I suppose puts them in that second place.
I'd like not to get sidetracked too much into that Connacht game, but just one very quick one. On that Galway performance that we saw, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago at this point, how easy, in a weird way, is it to actually address those errors? Because the errors were glaring. Pádraig Joyce knows exactly what he needs to do to shore up that backline, because Mayo got so many scores from very scorable positions. Like, as bad as they were that day, it does seem that there's a body of work ahead of them in between the two games against Mayo, where they know exactly what they have to do.
Yeah, I'd fully agree, Owen. Like, that match and Galway's performance in it seems completely out of kilter from what we would have expected from them over the past year or two. So I think you really have to put a pin in that, and given all the other sort of strange performances and the way that COVID has affected everything, like, there's just so little consistency out there, and judging anything on a single result looks a foolish errand at the minute, and particularly that there one when it's so out of kilter. I wouldn't buy into it. The fact that it was against Mayo, the fact that there was a very high likelihood that Galway would have been thinking they were going to be coming up against Mayo at some stage to get out of Connacht in a straight knockout championship would make me take it with an even bigger pinch of salt. So I think you have to leave that game on its merit. I think Galway against Mayo, if we just take a general body of work as you describe it over the past few years, you would be almost tipping the hat to Galway. The most interesting thing in that discussion for me is that Mayo seem to be really coming strong at the minute. They have a couple of new additions, which has certainly added to them, and they're coming with good energy. So Mayo were probably at a higher level than I expected them to be at, but I expect Galway to be at the level that I'm expecting them to be at, and that means it's down to a toss of a coin.
I almost thought for a second that you were tipping Galway for this, but you're giving them every chance, and.
Oh, absolutely. I would give Galway every chance now. I'm on an old tipping thing with the paper, with the Irish News that I work for, and we're in a sort of a point scoring basis there. And I've went with Mayo in that one. So I do think Mayo, just them two games, it's bound to help them. It's bound to get them match sharpness. Like, you really can't replace that with training sessions. So for that reason, I'm going with Mayo. But look, I knew when I was tipping them in that way that I'm very likely to be wrong, but you have to tip somebody, so I sided with Mayo.
You mentioned the Irish News there. I presume you've seen in the paper this morning you've been linked with the Antrim gig. What's the crack with that?
I was just thinking, would these boys sink me and throw the question? So yes, there's an affirmative on that side of it. No, in terms of that, there, look, there's lots and lots of rumours going about today. As ever, when there's lots and lots of smoke, there probably is something to it. But it's an, I can say it's in a very, very early state of flux, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of other names mentioned in and around that job. It is something that I'm considering, but considering is a very early stage. There's a family, there's a home situation, there's lots and lots of things to come into that. So there has been a conversation, but that's all there's been. Like, and I'm sure there's plenty of other men that's been asked to put their name forward as well for it. So we'll see how it pans out. I wouldn't even confirm that my name is definitively in for it yet.
Yeah, fair enough. That's fair enough. And without, like, without in any way influencing that part of the conversation, it always struck me. So I was born in Belfast, and my family grew up Antrim hurling supporters because we were from a hurling family. It always struck me that football in Antrim never made any sense on an intercounty level. That occasionally they would come with a team that would give somebody a rattle for 45, 50 minutes, like one of the big teams, and then they would fall away. And then there was the 10-year period where they never won a match. But their playing numbers must be relatively strong. And it seems, from the outside, like it's a bit of a sleeping giant.
Their playing and club numbers would be strong, certainly stronger than a lot of the teams that are down at a similar level with them, and stronger than a lot of the teams that are above them. So certainly there is that sense of untapped potential, but that has always been the case. And I've been at quite a bit of Antrim Club Championship level just because I'm married into that part of the world. And the level of the Club Championship that I've seen has been as good as what I've seen in Derry experience. So from that end of it, there does appear to be plenty of potential up there. But for one reason or another, they haven't managed to pull it together. So I suppose that's why there's always an enticing aspect to it. But then you're sort of trying to dig a wee bit deeper and see what the underlying reasons is and what is holding them back, because all the previous managers would have very much went in there with the best of intentions to untap that sleeping potential or wake up that sleeping potential. So look, that's maybe a story for another day, but certainly I would agree there is potential in Antrim, and with Casement hopefully getting the sod turned this year, that they are starting to happen. It could be the start of a good era. Like Gleeson has done amazing work with the hurlers and had got them up to Division One now and back into the contest for Liam McCarthy next year. So on that end of it, that's really on an upward curve. So I'd imagine that the footballers won't want to be left completely behind.
Yeah, no, for sure. And one last thing then for me, Cavan in all this obviously struggled at the weekend, but you know, maybe that's about the tournament itself and the whole life that the Ulster Championship takes on. But they were really good the first day and they've had games now. Are we underrating their progress through this championship a little bit?
To an extent, Cavan do have a potential. Like, that turnover against Monaghan was massive. It was a massive, massive shock. And the way it was done was fairly spectacular. I seen them against Antrim, and it was a really poor performance from a Cavan point of view. Antrim were very unlucky and probably should have actually won that game. Cavan held on by the skin of their teeth and were grateful for Antrim's misses in front of the posts. So that's a pretty poor way to be coming in. Down were really impressive in terms of their speed and attacking quality. Their conditioning was hugely impressive in their win over Fermanagh. But again, Fermanagh looked a pale shadow of themselves and have been really one of the worst affected by the whole COVID issue, and also had people that hadn't made themselves available earlier on in the year. So it's trying to caveat both things about the level of the teams that they were playing against. I think Down and Cavan will see a huge opportunity within each camp to reach the Ulster final from their own perspective. And with Armagh potentially turning over Donegal in an upset, like they realise that there is big opportunities afoot. For me, I would fancy Down. I just thought they showed glimpses of real high quality. The speed, the likes of Caelan Mooney, that obviously even the likes of Jerome Johnson that coming off the bench, they have real talent. So I would be expecting Down to come through that one. But again, Cavan might surprise us again. That's what they've done last year. They surprised Armagh in the semi-final and they made it to an Ulster final. They'll be hoping to repeat the dose this year.
And great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Enjoy the weekend. Cheers.
All the best, man.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, is live from 7:30 every morning. Listen on the OTB Sports app or ask Alexa, Siri, or Google to play OTB Sports Radio to start your day with the latest sports news and reaction. Subscribe by searching OTB AM on your podcast app.